What's uppers?
Yo, sup, sup?
This is your two boys, Hody Rez.
And the Mag.
And we are totally not the biggest dorks on podcast today. But here we are, coming at you live from Mag's Den, which I gotta say, I love this place.
Thank you. I had absolutely no artistic input on this room.
Well, I like the fridge in the middle of the room. It really sets the mood.
Like a good rug, it brings the room together.
Mm-hmm. Then we got our two beers. Hope you're drinking along with us. And if you're not, stop what you're doing.
Go pick get a one beer. Up.
Thank you. Fun fact. Did you know, because we're drinking Guinnesses, by the way, the little ball inside the canned Guinnesses is called a widget.
I think I might have heard that one time, but I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
And now you know.
I would love for them to try to copyright strike us for that. Just be like, we're suing you for everything you made on the episode. Good luck.
No, not my 4 cents. Please have mercy.
Oh, God, no. No, he's coming at us with the hammer.
Next podcast, the jerks at NBC. Just kidding, NBC, we love you.
Sure, they've had so many great shows in the last 2 decades.
Probably.
Exactly.
Anyway, getting off topic here. Episode 12, I thought that it, while you hear us rabble on about, you know, the finer things in life, crazy cool crappy cars, disgusting beer,
money,
which is actually an actual finer thing in life.
Yeah.
I wanted to take us back to our roots, describe the story of ourselves, how we got here, how we met each other, really. And so this is a very special episode called When Hody Met Mag.
There can be only one.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see. I guess, like any good story, this starts when we got... Well, for me, when I got out of boot camp... And wait, do our fans know that we're in the military?
Yes, they're well aware at this point.
Did you know that?
Yes, they know. Like, you're Navy, I'm Army. And we'll start with your story because our paths are very different.
Very, very different. That reminds me of a funny joke though, before I continue.
Go for it.
Really, it's specifically geared towards our crown-loving Marines, but you can use it for anybody. How can you tell someone's in the military? No, don't worry, they'll tell you.
Indeed.
Which is probably why they know so much about us. Anyway, So, if you were fully unaware, I'm in the Navy. Hoo-yah. And my Navy story started circa March 2017 when I went to boot camp. 2 months at lovely Great Lakes in northern Illinois. And I was initially supposed to be a linguist, what we refer to as a CTI. Ooh, fancy.
Fancy.
So to save everybody here a huge piece of time, well, I didn't make it. Surprise, surprise. And I promptly, well, actually it wasn't prompt because I spent 8 months or so after our school experience in purgatory waiting to get a new rate, which is what we call our jobs. Army knows them as MOS. Air Force calls them something.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Well, we didn't go to class with any Marines or any airmen, so it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, it was what initially four seamen.
Were there five?
Were there five? Hold on. There were five, yeah. And I want to say there were eight soldiers.
Yep, because we had like 13.
I think, yeah, unlucky number 13.
Ah.
That explains a lot, yeah. So we went to lovely Monterey, which...
That city actually is beautiful.
Like yeah, no joke.
If I could afford that, I would retire there.
Dude, I just want to say, side note, I got really curious to see what the cost of living is over there.
Oh, God.
It's astronomically expensive if you're trying to buy. If you're trying to rent, it's still very expensive. But it's like paying $2,000 a month for like a luxury studio versus paying, I saw a fairly dilapidated looking two bed, two bath going for, shit, you know, $900,000. Yeah, it was not very good looking.
For our listeners who can't see that, I just had this horror-stricken look on my face.
He did give me a look like he was about to consume my soul.
Yeah, yeah, that's, I don't think your soul's worth 900 grand, so I don't think I could, you know, like they say, I love you this much, you know, arms strung out in both directions, like, see, that's within about, 50 grand, right?
Yeah.
So, I can't, oh, God.
Well, my mom would say, my love is priceless.
Within $120,000.
Yeah, I'm sure. So, yeah, story about Monterey there, yeah. Me and the Mag, we both, at some point, met up in Monterey. But yeah, whereas my journey was fairly linear on how to get there, the Mag, I guess, had more twists and turns to his story, which...
To say the least.
Please.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Just do it now.
All right, so... I joined the Army back in 2014. I went through boot camp. We just said basic. They try to get us to say BCT for basic combat training.
Well, they try to call ours, recruit training command or RTC.
Yeah, we called it basic because we say boot camp. It's more of a Marine thing. Or at least that's what we were taught. But yeah, then I went to AIT over in San Angelo, Texas, which that was 7 months of holy God. But, so I went to Germany for 2 years after that, because I had my MOS already passed.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Germany for 2 years. I was within, I want to say it was, I think it was November of 2016 when I took a test called the D-Lab, which is Defense Language Aptitude Battery.
Okay, we'll go back to me and whatever.
Anyway, the whole point to this test is to see how well you can learn a language. Is it accurate? Absolutely not.
Mm-mm.
But it's... I took this test as a joke because I was going to be PCSing out of Germany. And I was originally supposed to go to Fort Gordon.
Oh, in Georgia.
Yeah, originally it was going to be Fort Belvoir, but then they changed my orders to Gordon after a couple of months, at which point it's like, I really don't care. I'd rather have Belvoir, but
as I said, Belvoir still puts you in the capital region.
Yeah, but it really doesn't matter.
I hear their laser eye center is top-notch, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you went to Andrews.
Anyway, I mean, I can't complain with the results I got. That's a different tale, though. But, well, if you score above a 95, what the way it works in the Army on this D-Lab is, in the Army, you score above a 95, you can never take the test again. Period. They make it very clear. Now, if you score below that, you can take it again after 6 months.
Right.
But if you score higher than that, it's done. I finished taking this thing, and I thought I scored like a 3. And it's like a 170-point scale or something. And like, I walk up to the lady after I finish taking the test. She's like, all right, I got your results. It's right here. Hold on. Let me look in the computer. Da, 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 da. Okay, you understand that you can never take this test again. No matter what, you can never take this test again.
So you automatically knew you got higher than a 95.
Well, my exact response was, what did I get? Like, how is that even possible? I got like a 3 on this thing.
Yeah, I'll just take it in 6 months again. What are you talking about, lady?
No, I wasn't even planning on that. But yeah, that's right,
for funsies.
She handed me the result sheet, and it was like a 112.
Okay.
Which meant that I qualified for every single language. And I brought it back to, like, I called the platoon leader, which was a lieutenant. Like, hey, you know, I got the results back. I scored a 112. He's like, oh, okay, can you, like, take a picture somehow? Can you make it look nice and pretty or whatnot? I was like, dude, it's just a sheet of paper. It's 8.5 by 11 inches. It's, you're not going to get that in a selfie. He's like, do you have, like, cardboard or something you can just, like, draw on or something?
Sounds like he wanted you to go to, like, Michael's or something and get, like, a super cool framed photo holder.
Well, I ended up just, like, getting, like, an empty pizza box or something.
There we go.
And just, like, getting a Sharpie and just, like, writing 112 on it and, like, taking a selfie of it.
Grease stains and all.
Yeah. I think it was something like that. It could have been different. I don't care. But then, you know, I got back to the office because I had to go to a different base to take it. And my warrant officer looks at me and goes, you scored 112? Like, yeah. He's like, tell your branch manager now. Like, okay, is it really that big a deal? He's like, yes. Yes, it is. You are currently in PCS mode. You could go to DLI.
Yeah, that sounds, I was like, that's like a big thing, yeah.
I was like, are you serious? Because, like, I've been studying Russian for a while. I'd like to learn that. He's like, do it. Like, tell him. And so I sent an email to my branch manager. In the Army, your branch manager is who determines where you go.
Mm-hmm.
He sends me an email back. I want to say, like, the next day saying, dude, send me an official copy of your test score now.
So you couldn't send him the selfie of the pizza box?
No, like, I actually scanned the result sheet and sent it in to him. And he's okay, like, cool. If you want, I will shred your orders to Gordon right now, and you will go to DLI. I was like, I want Russian. I kind of know that, or I've been studying that language. I want Russian. He's like, that's actually not available right now, but I can either offer you Persian Farsi or Egyptian Arabic. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I didn't say that, but that was my initial thought.
Right, I don't think you'd want to tell your branch manager.
No, but...
what kind of bullshit is this?
Yeah, so I talked to all the different linguists in my platoon, and I had a plethora thereof.
Mm-hmm.
I had Persian Farsi linguists, and I had a shitload of modern standard Arabic linguists. Egyptian wasn't, like, it was being integrated, and frankly, it's actually no longer offered. But, at least not in the Army anyway.
Huh.
But, basically, it was, well, it's kind of your own choice, bro. I mean, your options kind of suck. I was like, well, thanks. You're being helpful. I was like, all right, well.
That sounds very Army, just by the way.
It's far more Army than you know. But I was like, all right, so. I didn't literally toss a coin, but it felt like that's what it came down to.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like, all right, which of these countries can I go to? Can I go to Egypt at some point in my life and not worry about losing my clearance? Or can I go to Iran at some point? And it's like, I'm not even going to finish that question. All right, fine.
Oh, just imagine that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, all right, fine. I'm going to Egyptian Arabic. So, went ahead and put it in. Not 6 hours later, I got an email back saying, congratulations, you're going to DLI. I have your spot reserved.
That is a surprisingly quick turnaround, I mean, for any branch of the military.
Specifically the Army, that's fast, because absolutely. I had... Now, don't get me wrong, there was still, like, a few months. I had till February to get it all sorted out. Sure. But, yeah, he's just like, no, dude, we need Novembers with a language. So, and what's more, you're not giving up your MOS. You're not a transfer. You're technically a MOS-Q, which is MOS or MOS qualified. So, yeah, we need as many of those as we can get. Like, I'm working my magic.
I could see how that would be extremely helpful. Yeah, useful for the Navy. Or, wait, you're the Army. The Navy.
Trust me, if I'd have gotten it, my life would have been a lot different. Or, like, finished.
Yeah.
Would have been a lot different.
Wow.
But, yeah, PCS'd in February. A lot of stuff happened in the meantime, but most of that's irrelevant to the story.
Probably a lot of drinking. It was Germany. Maybe a couple trips to the red light district. But I'm going to wager drinking. Lots of it.
Lots of drinking. But, like, I got my orders when I was on vacation in the UK.
Ooh.
For Christmas.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah, it was like Christmas Day I got my orders.
UK, is this, No, I'm thinking of... No, never mind.
No, I was in London. But, yeah, that London.
You know the one.
Yeah, that one. Not like London, Canada or something. But like, you know, London, England.
Funny you mention that. There is, in fact, a London, Ontario, if memory serves well.
Yes, that's why I brought that one up.
Haha, well, before we venture on into your actual descent into Monterey, just want to go back on my story, because now you mentioned... Once you started opening up that can of worms as far as history, I guess, like, all these repressed memories came back to me as well.
Unrepress those memories, motherfucker.
We're doing it, yeah. So, right. Initially, my rate in the Navy, because I'd done my research, I was like, oh, what do I want to be, you know? And one rate showed up called Fire Controlman, which is pretty much the guy on the ship who pushes the buttons to launch the missiles.
Oh, that fire.
Yeah. And I was like, this is awesome. I want to do that. I went to MEPS, where you do your like initial qualifications, see if you are military worthy, and then they assign a job to you. And once I got to the detailer's desk, I was like, hey, you have a fire controlman open? Yeah. Because I had scored like 93 on the ASVAB, so really I could have gotten anything I wanted.
Yeah, I scored an 85 on that thing. So
except nuke. I could not be a nuclear technician because apparently I didn't. No, I was too old. Can you believe that? They have an age...
What?
Yeah, I mean, they have, like, an upper age limit to be a nuke. Like, how ageist is... Hey, come on, Navy.
Now, like, I can understand if they're like, you can't be a pilot because of your height.
For sure.
Which, that makes sense. There's an actual tactical reason for that.
Yeah, that I get, and that I'd be, you know, understanding of.
But, too old.
Yeah, bastards. I know. So, anyway, fire controlman. Like, I'd gone to pick, and, like, I was just dead set on, I was gonna go in, go through boot camp, then come out and have that. But, about half a year later, because I was in, you know, the purgatory between being a civilian and being in the military for about a year.
All right.
My recruiter calls me, and he's like, hey, man, you know, the Navy really needs linguists. Have you ever thought of being one? I was like, well, not really, no. He's like, well, let me tell you, man. You get a $10,000 bonus. You get a top secret clearance, man. And I know a few of these guys, and they do all these crazy cool missions, man. You got to do it. And I was like, okay. Because, again, the money whore in me. They could have told me, like, dude, we give you, like, $20 and, you know, like, this mystery bag of crap, and I'd be like, oh, yeah.
Woo! Mystery bag.
So, but he was like, oh, but you just have to take this D-Lab and see where you get placed. Same test that the mag took. So I get to you know, the testing location. And if Mag says he thinks he got a 3, I felt like not only did I get like a negative 50, but I just like lost half my brain cells taking this test.
Yes. Yes.
I don't.
Brain cells dead.
There's not much I can say about this test, but you can Google D-Lab, D-L-A-B, see if there are any kind of like practice tests on it or what people have to say about it. It's the most convoluted test that they've ever taken. And after 3 hours of doing this, and I was like...
God, it was that long, wasn't it?
It's like, I never want to do this again. But I get up to the front counter, and the guy's like printing out my sheet, and he's like, 122, that's pretty good, man. Cool, thanks, I didn't know what it meant. But I called my recruiter, he's like, yeah, man, the guy said I got a 122, and he's just like, what? Dude damn near lost his mind. So yeah, of course, that meant I qualified for a CAT 4 language, which is top tier of all, you know, languages in school. So that pretty much means like Arabic, Chinese, Japanese, Korean.
Tagalog.
Is Tagalog CAT 4? That was CAT 3. I don't know.
I think it's CAT 4. If it's not, it ought to be.
Could be, yeah. I believe you, honestly.
Anyway, it's the hard fucking languages.
It's a very hard languages, and pretty much if you're qualified to do a CAT 4, it means you're only going to do a CAT 4. You could... My dream language could have been Russian. Could have been Indonesian.
My dream language was Russian, and I was told, no, you motherfucker.
You're too smart for this, and...
Yeah.
You didn't see my air quotes there, but there they were.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I get to a boot camp, and in boot camp, I went to the language assigner, because we don't get them automatically assigned for us. Well, kind of, sort of.
In the Army, it's supposed to be assigned, but since I was already in, like, a regular soldier, I was given the choice, but most people don't.
Yeah, you got two options. I was given the illusion of choice, rather. We go up to this lady who assigns us languages. E7 in the Navy, and she really already knows what she wants to give you. Again, the illusion of choice. She was like, I want you to write down like your like 3 top dream languages. And I knew, because I was CAT 4, there was just no way in hell I was going to get anything but that. So I put down for my top language Korean. Because I took Japanese back in college, and...
There are similarities with Japanese and Korean, so...
I just thought it'd be fun, anyway. I put Chinese down second, again, kind of proximity to Japan, probably similar-ish.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And then I just put Arabic. I didn't really put any thought into that. I just knew, hey, it's a CAT 4, whatever, I'll just fill in the blank. But she looks at my list, and she's like, okay, you're getting Egyptian Arabic. Cool, I don't... First off, I didn't know there were, like, multiple dialects to Arabic. I just thought it was, like, just one big conglomeration of Arabic. So...
And now you know.
And I guess in my mind, I was thinking hieroglyphs and...
Like, they still speak ancient Egyptian 5,000 years later?
Eyeball, Horus... person doing that, you know what I mean?
walking like an Egyptian.
The Bengals fucking rule, side note.
They do, actually. I love that band.
So cool. Anyway, but yeah, I guess I told some people, like, yeah, I guess I'm getting Arabic. I don't really know what to expect, but hey, whatever. And I guess thus concludes my journey from boot camp to Monterey. Now, why don't we go ahead and talk about the class? Should we?
I still got some story before I get to the class, because there's a lot of time there.
All right. Well, bringing it back to you, my friend.
Okay, so I mentioned that at PCS to Monterey, there's actually some issues with my orders, because they didn't like the fact that my class start date was like May 28th, I think, or like April 28th or something like that.
Yeah, we did start when...
It was like May, wasn't it?
May.
May 28th, yeah. It was late May, and I was set to PCS from Germany in mid-February.
Oh my god.
So they didn't like that I would have like 3 months of just sitting on my ass in California.
I will say that is an absolute dream. Could you imagine getting paid to pretty much dick around in one of the most beautiful cities I've ever been to?
It was nice.
Yeah, it's cool as hell.
But like, I had 3 weeks of PCS leave, which is the time you take between stations where you're not actually armying. And so, went, bought a truck.
Hey, we talked about that last episode.
Did. And I drove that out to DLI.
Oh, Samantha.
Yep. I love that truck. I love Samantha. But, drove it out there. It was like beginning of March-ish. I actually had to get a California driver's license.
No!
It did not cost me anything in state tax.
Okay, that's
good. I was not charged state tax for having a California driver's license. But it was... I was having driver's license issues because I still had my old CDL from when I was a truck driver. So, it's a complicated thing. And frankly, I don't remember all the details. All I know is that I got a new driver's license. But, yeah, then I got to post, and I had to figure out the damn place by myself, because yeah, there was,
that reminds me of something, but I'm gonna
but yeah, most people go to DLI straight out of basic training in all branches. Mm-hmm. So their whole lives are cut out for them. If you're going there as a careerist, you are fucked. So like, I legit drove around post. Fortunately, it's like one road. Or, like, one primary road.
It is just one big road and then a bunch of little, like, branches.
And so all I had to do was look for Army headquarters. Found it, and they're just like, oh, okay, yeah, you're set to go to this company. And I was like, okay, cool. I walk over to that company. They're just like, what the fuck are you doing here? This isn't the Arabic one. This is the Russian one, you dumb fuck. Get your ass back there. I was like, back where? I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
But this is where I want to be, son.
It says on my orders right here, this company. They're like, well, get your shit fixed, because you're not coming here. Aww. So I go back to that, and they're like, oh, yeah, we told you wrong.
Oops, teehee.
Like, it does say Bravo Company, but you're not in Bravo Company. You're in Charlie. You're going to be a Cobra.
Charlie Cobras, woo.
I was like, okay, thank you. That information would have been nice the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So I go over to Charlie Company, which is further up the hill. And so I see my first sergeant through the O room, and lo and behold, it was the first sergeant I had in Germany.
Hey.
The guy just looks at me, just gives me that look of wait. Aren't you? Then he looks at my name tag and goes, you, I know you. I was like, nice to meet you again, First Sergeant. So, yeah, I ended up sitting in his office for like an hour just bullshitting with him. And let's just say that got me caught up on a lot. Because, yeah, the old room, they were very educated. They knew what they were doing. But at the same time, it's like, why am I just now finding out what to do? But yeah, my first sergeant's like, don't worry, we're going to take care of you. And here's where to start. Well, a buddy of mine I was stationed in Germany with, his wife lived in Monterey.
Oh.
So, it like, they're working it out so that I can basically take over her old place that she was moving out of. Because she was going to move to Arizona to be closer to family because she had some health problems. And he was going to be moving down to Arizona with her because he was getting out of the army, blah, 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 blah. It's more complicated than that, but that's the easiest way to tell it. So I was like, all right, cool. You know, I'm going to go live in that house. Well, when I talked to the first sergeant, he's like, you haven't signed a lease yet, have you? I was like, no. Why? He's like, don't.
Oh, no. I know where this is going.
Because we're not paying BAH to careerists below E5. And I was and I was an E4 at the time.
Oh.
I was like, oh. That was like $1,750 I was planning on every month. Not only that, the place that she was living in, $950 a month.
Shut the fuck up. Pardon my French.
Not bullshitting you one fucking bit. It was going to be $950 a month in like one of the most expensive cities in the country. San Francisco and Hawaii notwithstanding.
Yep.
But yeah, it was like a third of the rate of most places there in that in that town. I got screwed out of, and because I wasn't getting BH, I couldn't afford it. So I ended up living in, like, I would have, if I had the money, like, if I was getting paid then what I'm getting paid now, I would have just kept living there and just figured it out.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
Yeah. Like, I would have lived on the economy. But, yeah, I was required to live in the barracks.
That's painful.
So, now, most of the time I didn't have a roommate, but the last month I did, that's for way further down the road, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for, like, 3 months, basically any time I needed to just go get something personally done, I could just leave, and no one gave a fuck. It was beautiful. Like, when I had to go get my driver's license down at the Cali DMV, I just left.
Is that in Salinas? Did they have one in Monterey, or?
It wasn't in Monterey. It was south. Oh, I can't remember the name of the city, but it was, like, to the south of Monterey.
Okay.
But
still, what else? Beautiful drive, and
yeah, I mean, traffic was kind of a bitch, but at the same time, it wasn't that big a deal. Anyway, it was worth it. Like, I'd go to, like, I could just go wherever I wanted. There would be like a morning, little brief, like, hey, what's everyone doing today? Blah 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 blah. Like, whenever.
How cute.
Yeah, and of course it's like 5 a.m. or something, we'd have PT. Right. But then again, their PT really wasn't that bad.
I know it wasn't, but I know you guys, at least like the AITers, I want to say they had to do it 4 days out of the week.
We did.
I would attend early morning PT as well for to make my PT requirements. And I only did that 2 times a week, and I can say getting up that early fucking sucks. And we're all crammed up on a bus because, like, the city buses came through DLI at 4:30 in the morning. And just being crammed with all these army people, I was like, God, these people suck.
Yeah.
And then someone would recognize me, hey, what's up? How you doing, man? I was like, oh. I mean, I liked most of them. Like, you know, these were my classmates, so I became acquainted with them. But at 4:30 in the morning, leave me alone, please.
Yeah, so for like 3 months, basically, because the holdovers, as they called them, the people who weren't in class for whatever reason,
yeah, like,
those 3 months, I was one of those people. And
top of the world.
Yeah, so basically anytime they needed an errand run, I would just do it, because all of the people who were fresh out of basic, they had to have a battle buddy.
Oh, of course, yep.
And I didn't.
Battle buddy system.
So I'd be like, hey, you need something run down to HQ? You need something done? They're like, yes, Adam. Sorry, yes, Mag. Here you go. Please do this, 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 and this. And I'd be like, okay, cool.
You were the premier gopher for the army.
I was, and plus it got me out of doing a lot of other stupid shit. I was going to say,
yeah, man, you volunteer for that kind of crap, it keeps you out of trouble, keeps you out of doing all the shit you don't want to do.
Yeah, like going to pick up cigarette butts. They're just lying around post. Fuck that.
Yeah, no thanks. But again, repressed memories are coming back. And you mentioned your travel into Monterey. Mine, different, also hilarious, because right out of boot camp, got on a plane, was supposed to go to San Francisco, you know, for our little layover, and then fly to Monterey.
Okay.
I got on a plane in Chicago at 6 in the morning. I was supposed to be in Monterey by, like, I want to say 10 their time, 10 a.m. Fly to San Francisco, and I remember getting a message from my mom because she's, like, super into, like, tracking planes and all that stuff. She was like, hey, I think your flight to Monterey got canceled. You should go ask someone about that. So I go up to a certain airline's little kiosk. And I'm like, hey, Mr. Blue Knighted employee.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think it was a Mrs. Yeah, like my mom said, this flight is canceled or something. She like looks it up and she's like, oh, yeah. No explanation given at all.
Mm-hmm.
They changed our flight from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I got to spend about half a day at the airport, which I don't know if you've ever been to San Francisco's airport. It's a little weird.
I've not been to that, but San Francisco is statistically the most expensive city in the country.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine their airport.
Yeah, they have a Burger King in the airport, and I was like, I'm pretty hungry.
That's $12,000 per patty.
Legit.
And then $6,000 per slice of lettuce.
So it's a legit for a Whopper meal, just Whopper fries and a drink. Small, mind you. I paid about $15.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. There was a lady in the airport who, like, asked me and my two other, seamen, battle buddies, if you will, we'll call them, Snuggies and Boniva. I was like, hey.
Anyway.
She came up, she's like, hey, can I throw glitter on you guys? We're in our dress uniforms. And just kind of like look at these and it's like, no.
No.
Then she goes like, darn, no one ever lets me put glitter on them. There was a choir there that played Fifth Dimension songs, like, nonstop. What's that? What was that song? You know, like, Age of Aquarius and Let the Sunshine In. They did those and Up, Up, and Away. Only those three songs. They would play those three songs, take like a 15-minute break, then get back on their little podium, sing it again, rinse and repeat.
Oh, God.
We were lounging in like the primary like cafeteria area when I was like, fuck this. Because I could just hear them going on. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I need to go somewhere. So we go to the USO, hang out over there. Super cool USO, by the way. They have like these weird little like pods you can nap in and stuff.
Hmm.
10 out of 10, highly recommend.
All right.
So I went ahead and napped there. And I don't know what happened, but somehow our flight went from being 10 p.m. to midnight.
Well, that sounds right.
It just kept getting later and later. No explanation given, just like a pilot just apologized for the delay, but never elaborated. Whatever. Finally get to Monterey, finally get picked up by the little runner for the Navy, duty driver, who, bless his heart, you know, who the hell wants to do a drive at midnight or 1 a.m.?
Yeah.
We get there. When you're coming fresh out of boot camp and then go to, like, the Navy barracks over there, you're greeted by, like, a party of people who, like, help you, like, acclimate to things and, like, hey, like, yeah, we're, like, also, like, sailors in training, we're your friends, blah, blah, blah. They,
really?
Yeah, they do this, man. They, like, had a pizza party planned for us and everything.
Well, that's a culture shock.
Yeah, no, it was, yeah, seriously, I was like, you guys are being too nice. Can you, like, spit on me or something, please? But when we get there, only two people are awake, probably woken up. They're like, yeah, we had pizza for you guys, but you never came. There's like two cold slices left. Me being the fatter that I am, I'm like, yeah, let me get that. Side note, if she's listening, my other friend, I'll call her Boosera. She was not on the same flight as us. She flew from Chicago to LA instead, and then to Monterey. She got to Monterey at scheduled time. I don't understand. She pissed me off. She probably got to enjoy all the pizza in the world and got to hang out with all these cool people. I don't know. But yeah, no kidding, like, that was a weird introduction to Monterey. So this seems like as good of a time as ever to take a break, and when we come back,
I was actually gonna recommend that myself. Yeah,
look at that. Great minds think alike.
Fortunately, so do we.
Yeah, no one said anything about stupid minds. And when we come back, we'll just continue blabbling on about whatever. Be back in a minute. And we're back.
And we're back.
And hopefully you are too, and didn't just abandon us during the break.
Mm-hmm.
So, we told you, through about 40 minutes of rambling, how we got to Monterey eventually. And now we're going to spend the next 40 minutes rambling about time in Monterey and the future beyond that. So, as you may recall, we were in... signed up to both be in Egyptian Arabic.
Indeed.
And it was, I believe, late May of 2017.
2017, yeah.
And, yeah. Let's see. I suppose we first met at one of those, like, weird little, like, introduction room things where it's like, hey... I'm just, like, MLI guy. I'm, like, a military... What does MLI stand for? Military language
instructor.
Yeah. Who are the cool guys, and they're mostly on your side. Though sometimes they will take on the stance of the teacher if you're a huge fuck-up.
The point to their position is that they are a military representative... in the event that there's a class where your military status and your class clash. Because I had a potential for one of those things to happen, but
I'm going to tell you right now, in the Navy, that's all that happens. Like, we are constantly getting pulled out of class or pulled out of everything to go do some stupid... Now, I feel bad for saying stupid because... sometimes it is extremely necessary, you know.
Quite often it's bullshit.
More morale boosting event.
We got that quite a bit in the Army too.
Some kind of resiliency training.
Oh god.
You know, debriefings and the like. But anyway, introduced to an MLI, pretty cool guy.
He's actually in my company now.
Oh, he's over here.
Yeah, he's
no kidding.
Yeah.
We
haven't had a chance to talk to him yet, but yeah.
I want
to
say hi. He was a cool guy.
Yeah.
He may remember me, probably.
Probably not. He didn't remember me, and I was the class leader for a while.
Ah, that's true, yeah. That should be stated as Magnuson was, or the Mag. Oops.
I said it last week. It doesn't matter at this point.
Well, you also said your first name today, so.
I said my middle name. I didn't say my first name at any point.
It's...
Shut up. Anyway.
You had the most experience out of any of us, sailors and soldiers alike, with 3 years of experience in military?
Yeah, I was over 3 years at that point. I also had my rank for over a year, which was longer than pretty much everyone else had been in the military, so...
Literally true, yeah. So yeah, you became our... first class leader, and you were a pretty upstanding class leader, I will say that. But anyway.
That makes one of us who thinks that.
So yeah, we were introduced to our instructors who, by the way, are native speakers of the tongue. They're not in the military, they are civilians, and they were, you know, actually grew up in Egypt, and then moved over and are getting paid exorbitant amounts of money to teach us. And
they also got some pretty stellar degrees to go along with that money, too. It's one of the few times whenever the whole work really hard and get paid more thing actually turns out to be true.
Hell yeah, brother. But I guess, it sucks because I don't actually remember my first interaction with you. Like, I don't remember the first time I went up to you and said, hey, how's it going? As you can tell by my name tag, I'm Odie Rez, you know, or whatever. I don't remember that. I'm sorry. That sucks.
I don't remember either, but actually, I think it might have been before that, because we had that week-long English class.
So, yes, there's that. Before you learn your own, or your target language, you're supposed to, like, get retaught English, because we're all morons and forgot how to speak properly.
Well, the idea is the fact that you need to at least have a handle on grammar in general, because let's face it, they don't really teach that in schools anymore.
I suppose not, and you should actually learn difference between verbs, nouns, and the like. So,
I mean, how many people actually know what an indirect object is? Point in case! Anyway, so I think it was in one of those classes where we first met.
Yeah, yeah. I remember we were, like, split up into small groups to, like, partake in activities.
It's like groups of four, wasn't
it? Something like that, yeah.
And then, because there's, like, 13 people, one group had to have an extra person.
No, of course, yep. I always hated those groups. And growing up in school and stuff, there's always that one group of three or whatever, and you're just like, you bastards.
I have always hated group projects, especially, like, growing up in, like, grade school and whatnot, because it's like, dude, one person's going to do all the work.
One person always does all the work.
You're going to have that one piece of shit who just claims everyone's work as their own.
He pops at the last second, oh, yeah, put my name on the project. And you're like, no, give me $5.
And then there's going to be those one or two other people who are just, like, worried sick because, you know, they're not contributing enough, but they want a really good grade,
mm-hmm.
but they still don't actually do anything.
Mm-hmm. Thankfully, none of that was graded in our little English week.
No, but I did take it seriously. Because it's like, all right, I know why we're doing this, so I actually care about it. And frankly, English has never been my strong suit, so it mattered to me. But being the careerist of the group, meaning that I was not still going through training, I was not allowed to hang out with any of you guys at the time.
That's true.
I was the only one, too.
Yeah, it really sucked for those who are careerists at DLI. You can't hang out with the noobs. You certainly can't hang out with the MOIs or...
Can't hang out with the teachers, that's for damn sure.
Teachers or anyone in rank. You can only hang out with your own kind. And as you told me once outside the podcast, you can only hang out with careerists who are in your same rank as well. Or NCOs versus non-NCOs.
So in my situation, yes, because I was not an NCO, which meant that I could only hang out with careerist specialists, and there were all four of us in my company.
Yeah, that must have been fun.
Yeah, so like one night I had CQ duty.
Mm-hmm.
They legit had to pull a guy who was on an exception to policy list for medical reasons.
Ooh.
Just so that I could do it. Overnight.
Jeez.
And then, yeah, we eventually got another one. He was an airman before, but he joined the Army after life just didn't work out for him, I guess.
Aw, poor guy.
Well, I went to a USC game with him, so it was worth it.
Oh, cool.
He was actually a pretty fun guy.
Right on, man. Yeah, I didn't do any of that.
That's all right, yeah. I hadn't really brought it up. But, yeah, for the most part, I couldn't hang out with anybody, couldn't talk to anybody. Needless to say, it was very lonely. Before I went to class, I did go on a date, though, with one of the locals, and that bitch was crazy. I don't use the word bitch lightly, but she was insane. Like, we went, like, I met her on Tinder, and she was like, hey, let's just go down Cannery Row. It's like, all right. She's like, all right, I know it's like 10 o'clock in the morning, but I got a hangover, so I need a Bloody Mary. Like, you're paying for it.
Hair of the dog, yeah. Hey, why not?
Yeah, so she got a Bloody Mary, and, like, I go back to her place just to hang out for a bit. Like, I didn't try to fuck her or anything like that.
Y'all smashed.
Trust me, that didn't happen. But, like, we were in there for, like, 5 minutes. She pulls out the weed and goes, hey, you want to smoke a bowl? I was like, where do you think I work?
Did she know that? Did you mention to
her? Yeah,
okay.
I did. She legit just didn't get it. But anyway, I got real sidetracked there. But, like, that was the extent of my social life. Because I couldn't hang out with anyone.
Fuck, dude, that sucks. Because, yeah, again, I was only in E3 when I got in.
But you were still under training orders.
Yeah.
Which meant that I technically was not allowed to hang out with you at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, like, if we saw each other at Papa John's, it wasn't a big deal, but... But, yeah, like, if it was outside of post, I actually wouldn't have been able to do anything.
But I guess I wouldn't say I had, like, a crazy intense social life, but, you know, I try to spend my weekends out going, doing something with some people, and I had the luxury of doing that with, like, a bunch of other losers who just joined the Navy and got fresh out of boot camp.
Well, yeah, you gotta hang out with Google.
Had to hang out with the Google tree. Had to hang out with a couple other peeps. Kusala Goopa Goop, as I affectionately call her.
Okay.
I said Coochie last week, so we're saying Coochie this week. Her. I did a couple other dorks.
Yeah, pretty much anyone who goes to DLI is a mega dork or a mega nerd.
Mega dork, mega nerd.
Which, for the record, nerd is an affectionate title in my world. So, you know, just saying. Go ahead.
I just wanted to, I don't know where I was going with that, but, side note, yeah, going on to the, bless your heart, dude, I love you, man.
You're welcome.
You made a habit of just flexing on us all the time, reminding us that you were a careerist, you know that?
I did?
You did that in, like, at least a couple times a day.
I didn't know I did that.
Just remember, I just be like, oh, there he goes again. All right, dude. All right, careerist. I get it, man. You're cooler than us.
Now, I will admit, I did get a little, I think I did come on a bit strong.
And I will say, that was my first impression of you, honestly. Like, you were, I don't know if I would use the word abrasive, but you came off as, like, being super stern, you know, like...
I did do that. It occurred to me later that, well, I was afraid that that's what was going to happen because, like, I came from a tactical unit where if you're not assertive, to say the least, you're just getting run over. So... I was still kind of used to that.
Gotcha, okay.
And plus, when I'm first put into a position of leadership, I tend, like, at least at the time, I would tend to get a bit abrasive.
Yeah.
So I was, let's just say I naturally put stress on myself.
I could see that happening, but so, at the same time, I guess, I mean, I understand it, really, because some of us in that class, I mean, you know, to include myself, we were... could be a bit obnoxious, and I feel like, yeah, you just kind of had to kind of get us back in line, kind of, like, remind us where we were and what we were doing.
I was dealing with a bunch of people who were straight out of high school, not just out of basic.
There were a lot of them, yeah.
And let's face it, high school does not teach you how to be an adult, and basic training does nothing to teach you how to act like an adult. They teach you, well, by definition, it's brainwashing, but
indoctrination, please.
I meant what I said.
Yeah, so...
But, yeah, so I definitely had to...
But also, you know, it's... Monterey, for the Navy, and especially for the Army, because I've been to both Monterey and another training command. Because DLI sucks so much, it's incredibly lax in its standards.
It absolutely is. That is absolutely the case.
Like, in other training commands, you still have to march to your classroom. DLI, yeah. I mean, granted, like, I know the Army, you have to kind of have, like, your battle buddy formations. We just casually walk, you know, with, like, no military bearing whatsoever to our classrooms.
That happened.
So, just side note, yeah, after, like, going through a year plus of Monterey, but then skedaddling over to another training command, I totally forgot, like, marching commands entirely. Then, like, it's like, you know, still yelling, like, about face, and I'm just like, ugh, you know, I'm all, got my tangled feet, but neither here nor there, so, totally just, getting off.
So,
my train of thought's falling off the rails here, but definitely, man, you were, like, really stern, and I guess when I first met you, I was just like, I don't know if I care for this guy much. Fortunately.
That's fine. I can accept that. Especially now that I've lightened up a lot. But, like, I also warned the soldiers. First thing, I was like, okay, so, very important fact. You guys are going to graduate from DLI. You're going to go to Goodfellow Air Force Base in San Angelo. And you are going to fucking hate it. Because they're... It really is just, like, slightly better than basic. Like, it is just an absolute fucking shit show, and everyone hates it.
So, I don't know if you knew this, and for those listening at home who don't know this, but once you get out of basic, you're put on, like, these phase restrictions, and they eventually loosen up as time progresses, but, like, phase... three for you guys, because phase one and two are done in the Army. Phase three, it's like you have to be in uniform at all times. Mm-hmm. I think phase four, it's a little more lax. And then once you get to like phase five, five plus or whatever, as long as you make it back to base by curfew, you're pretty much okay. Something like that.
In the Army, phases 1, 2, and 3 are done
at basic. Oh, 1, 2, and 3 are done at basic, okay.
4 is you have to be in uniform at all times. Mm-hmm. You can't smoke, which actually gets a lot of people kicked out. It's depressing. Mm. Now, don't get me wrong, it has gotten some people out of the Army who don't belong.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's kind of a good filter.
It's also kind of catch-22 in that regard. Right. But then... there's phase 5 where you're actually allowed to, like, leave post. You're allowed to, you have to be back by curfew, but, like, at Goodfellow, you got formation at 9 o'clock every night.
Mm-hmm.
So, it doesn't matter what day of the week it is. You have to be in that formation, in your PT uniform, and if you're not, it is an absolute fucking shit show, and sometimes the NCOs there will just drop people just because they want to.
Oh, jeez.
Like, they are pricks.
Okay, yeah.
But, now sometimes you'll get them where they're just like, look, I'm here to do a job. I don't care.
I like.
But those are the ones there were a couple of them who had a serious superiority complex. So they would just drop you just because they just wanted to be assholes.
Jeez.
But
yeah, what I was going with that is, like, even if you make it to phase 5 plus at DLI.
Oh, yeah.
Once you get to Goodfellow, you're back down to 4. It used to be you got to keep the same phase, but then I think a lot of the AITers coming from other MOSs started complaining, like, oh, why are they special? Base leader was like, oh, okay, fine. They have to drop back down. So, yeah, you get all these freedoms at DLI. I think just like that, they're taken away from you as soon as you leave. and it sucks. And I guess I could see why you chose the leadership style that you did.
Yeah, I mean, so that brings me to, like, my first impression of you, I just kind of thought you were just that tall, goofy guy.
I'm a tall, goofy guy. But, still am.
But at the same time, I could tell that you weren't a dipshit.
Aw.
Which goes a long way with me.
That comes with years of experience, I guess. I think.
Well, you're also older.
Me and you were the two oldest people in that class.
Yeah,
aside from the instructors who were, like, ancient. But
That doesn't matter. But, like you were an older one, so I could relate to you a bit better.
Yeah, and I remember, you did eventually start kind of loosening up, which is much appreciated. I remember, like, I want to say it was every Tuesday, like, Honest Trailers would come out with a new video.
Yes! They still do, by the way.
You always made a point to show it to us, and I did very much appreciate that, because
it got us to do something other than Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 7 hours of learning a language. I don't give a fuck what language it is. It is hard in your brain. But, yeah, I was started doing that. Like, I would just play random music videos just in between classes. I would just drop and just do 40 push-ups just so I'd do something else.
You would knock out some push-ups in that little 10-minute break. I remember that.
I had my promotion board on the exact same day that we had our first test.
Woo!
And, oh my god. Imagine that much stress on one person in one day. Because, alright, so in the Army, there's like a 4-step process to getting promoted. You have to be in your rank for a certain period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do an online course. At the time, it was called SSD1, which is Self-Structured Development 1.
Yeah.
And then you have to go to the promotion board, be recommended for promotion, and then you have to go to a course called BLC, or Basic Leader Course.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do all of them, and then you have to have enough promotion points to get promoted to sergeant. Well, I couldn't go to Basic Leader Course while I was at DLI, just the way the class works.
There's no time for it.
It just doesn't matter. But I was able to get my promotion board knocked out. You mentioned how it's so lax there at DLI. Well, that promotion board, let's just say they're a lot more laxed. Because while, yes, I was clearly treating it like I would treat any promotion board like I'm doing this by the book, by the numbers, blah, blah, blah.
As you should.
Well, you have a sponsor there who's like your platoon sergeant in this case. He walked in, did his thing. I walked in, did my thing. Well, like, after I left the board, they actually brought my sponsor back into the room. The second the door opened, I heard every single one of the first sergeants and the command sergeant major just busting up laughing so hard because apparently I was just me just trying to be serious, trying to do it all by the book was just so hilarious that it took everything they had not to just bust up laughing.
Oh, you poor thing.
Now, I didn't let any laugh slip. I didn't do anything I wasn't supposed to do, but apparently I'm still hilarious even without trying, because they were just busting up laughing the whole time, like immediately after I closed the door.
Oh my gosh, man, that
but like I got my promotable status.
Hey man, of course.
And ironically, that is the only test in the class itself that I passed.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, I want to say, I think I passed the first two, but it was just barely. Like, it was like, yeah, you passed, but
you still got to do 7th hour.
You're going to have to, you got to do some extra shit. We don't trust you.
So, in DLI, if you do really, really well on the course, after sound and script, right?
Yeah, after the first test.
after sound and script, you don't have to go to seventh hour, which is the last hour of the day. You get to go home an hour earlier. You can do whatever the fuck you want, as long as it's within reason. Well, neither of us could do that.
No, we could not. And we couldn't do that at all during the entire duration of our time there.
Yeah, because Egyptian Arabic's hard.
Yeah, it's not fun. Unless you happen to really, 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 really love Arabic and or Egypt.
Specifically Egyptian Arabic, because in the Army, they don't even let us take that course anymore.
Yeah, I don't know about the Navy, I'll have to ask. But, so we barely passed the first test. I guess it, if it wasn't already extremely obvious, neither of us were good at this class.
No, we weren't.
I have the unfortunate humble brag, I guess, to say I got through a little longer than you did, but it wasn't without...
It's only about like a month.
When did you get kicked out of class?
After Unit 3.
Do you remember what month that was?
November.
Yeah, I got kicked out in December. Okay, a month. But it should be stated, that month sucked. It's like the longer you go...
trust me, I'm well aware of how bad that
month sucked. In hindsight... I really wish I could have been part of, like, the first round of getting, you know, kicked out.
It's me and one other guy. They got kicked out first.
So, I want to say that at that point is when I really noticed your, like, military bearing and leadership kind of just got thrown out the window.
Well, in all fairness, someone else was the class leader at that point.
So, yeah, I guess the MLI, right, came up to you and said, hey, we're putting him as a class leader.
Yeah, he actually was like, hey, I want to see you in my office. Since you don't need a battle buddy, just come alone. I was like, okay, am I in trouble? He's like, no, you're not in trouble. I just need to see you in my office. Like, okay. And he's like, hey, you're the one person in this class who's going to a tutor regularly. And I was going to a tutor like 3 times a week.
Yes.
And my tutor was actually reporting to the MLI going, he's trying his damnedest. I know he is because he and I are working together all the time. Mm-hmm. It's just not clicking.
Right. And
so Sergeant Leia was like, look, I know you're trying. There's nothing more I can ask of you, but I don't want to say it's only a matter of time, but you're a careerist, so I know that you know it's only a matter of time. I can say that to you and not hurt your feelings. I was like, dude, I was a 2CR. He's like, oh, wow, a lot makes sense now.
Right.
But...
So...
Yeah, so he's like, yeah, I'm putting the other guy as the team leader because he's a specialist. He's got the rank. And I think he's going to be able to make it through. Like, hey, yeah, I'm not going to take that person. He's like, yeah, I brought you in here alone because I know some people do. It's like, dude.
Oh, dude.
This is a non-issue for me.
I was going to say, that must have been a really chill talk.
It was. Like, I think it was more chill for me than it was for him. Because like,
he's probably worried, like, oh, I'm going to hurt this guy's feelings.
Well, I think it's one of those, like, it's one of the shitty parts of the job that you have to have that you really don't enjoy having
right.
to do
yeah.
for anybody. And I was, you know, and I'm guessing that he didn't hate me as a soldier.
Yeah, that's so, I know there were a couple of soldiers in the class that he made it very clear he did not like.
Yeah, I mean if you're one of the people that he doesn't like and like he's moving you or demoting you, it's gonna be one of those like, all right, whatever. But when it's one that you actually like, it's like, God, I don't want to do this.
It's googling like how to politely put someone down.
Well, We weren't his first class.
That's true, yeah.
So, he knew how to handle that.
Right. Well, all the same. That reminds me, though, you mentioned regular tutoring. I, myself, initially had a tutor, and things were going okay.
Or so we thought.
Yeah. Like, again, I think myself and the tutor could just, we both could see it was only a matter of time for myself dropping out, so we both stopped really giving a shit. And so, like, the 2 weekly tutor sessions eventually became one tutor session a week, then, like, once every other week, and then it was just like, hey, you want to do tutoring? No. Me neither. But I will say, when I first started seeking out tutoring, I also tried to be, like, super special sailor guy, and I would seek out, what was it, like, that 7 p.m. study hall session, which I want to say you were there a few times with me.
I was.
And you,
we did go to that together.
And you backed me up because someone, like, accused me of not going to that, and you defended them, saying, like, no, he was there with me. And they were like, oh, okay.
I do remember that, actually.
I don't remember who it was, but it was somebody, like, either one of the instructors or the MLI. I don't know.
Now, I don't think it was the MLI. I think it was one of the instructors. Like, Resendez was with me. Sorry, Hody was with me. But, yeah, he was with me during this class. We were both there. And, yeah, like, that happened.
That happened. So, despite my initial opinion of you, that was very nice. Thank you for doing that. But yeah, no, and I do remember, I guess, once you remembered, or once, I guess, you and MLI had to talk about, like, it was only a matter of time, your demeanor just, like, it just became so much more chill. It was funny.
Yeah.
Because I remember I did not, like, even though we were one big class, we were still, like, grouped into three smaller classes. There was, like, the geniuses, the idiots, and then, like, you know, the people with potential. And I was clumped in with the people who had potential, but I was just like, I don't like these people. I want to be with the dummies. So one day I just packed up my stuff without saying anything, and I went to the other class. Dude, you guys were having a blast in there. Like, you, no one gave a shit. There was, like, one girl who was trying, but no one liked her. And,
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, like, you and other homeboy were just, like, saying all kinds of random goofy crap, like you were getting your Arabic totally wrong, but everyone, teacher included, were just like laughing about it. And I was like, this is my class. But then the head teacher came in like right before lunch and was like, get your ass back. No.
She was just like, what the hell are you doing here?
Having fun, Ustezza?
We got the one that everyone's gonna save. We've got you, who was the class leader, but is now a disappointment. You, who've been a disappointment this whole time.
The whole time from day one.
And you've got, sorry, and you're the stinky one. What the fuck are you doing here? Stinky. You know it's true.
She did, oh god.
Dude, the guy that was sitting to my right, the glass, you know who I'm talking about.
I know
about.
Who you're talking about, he's the disappointment from day one.
No, no. I'm talking about the other one.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Okay.
But, yeah, he was, like, you know, the one everyone's gonna save.
Yes.
Anyway. Like, we actually talked about the stinky one day when she wasn't there. And she's like, it was this really hot day, I remember. And I just got this whiff of it. I was like, oh, my God. Like, I legitimately had problems breathing. And, well, when she wasn't there, like, she went to the bathroom or something, I was like, oh my god. And he's like, you feel like that now? I smell that every fucking day.
Oh no.
I was like, oh my god, you're right.
Yeah, she joined my class.
And then you gotta smell it.
I gotta smell it, and we all decided, right from hour one, as soon as we get into that classroom, all windows are going open. And just like myself, she happens to be from the great state of Texas, albeit a hotter, swampier part.
I don't give a fuck.
So she's used to that kind of gross shit. And Monterey is extremely mild. Like, in the morning, it's usually like 40 or 50, like almost every day.
You'll never find a place with, like, more perma spring than any other place on the planet.
It is extremely consistent. As long as you're, like, wearing a, like, windbreaker, like, you're good every day of the year.
I mean, in the summer, it can get up to about 90.
But
it's not common.
But she would always be like, oh my god, it's cold. Is anyone else cold?
We would just be like, no, we're not.
For the record, we were cold. But...
well, it was uncommon in our classroom.
To air out the stink, and kind of despite her, we suffered through. Now, I will say, I want to say it was like October, November. There was like a weird anomaly of a heat wave that rolled in, where it was in fact like 90 degrees. And in Monterey, they do not believe in air conditioning. It's just so mild over there all the time, you don't need it. But this is one of those weird-ass days where it's just really, really hot.
And I think I vaguely remember
this. I was drenched in sweat, just, like, miserable. And I, like, turn over, and she's like, oh, I'm loving this weather. This is great. Just wanted to... Whatever. Repressed memories coming back, man.
But, yeah, it was that November... when, okay, so we originally were being interviewed, or, like, had, like, a meeting with the schoolhouse leadership saying, hey, are you, we know that your grades aren't very good, but, like, do you think you can do it? And I legit said straight to the schoolhouse's leader, like, straight, I'm not getting it. I do not want to waste any of the Army's money. I don't want to waste anyone's time.
Yep.
I'm not getting it. And frankly, I see no reason to lie to you about it. And their response was, you have any idea how many times we've been begging for someone to be honest with us like this? We don't like to see anyone just say, no, I can't do this. But at the same time, thank you for telling us the truth.
So I got a pretty similar response because it was a month after you where it was my turn to get cut and I'm brought into the office and I was nervous. I was waiting outside the door kind of like, you know, trembling with a little hesitation. MLI looks at me. He's just got a coffee in his hand. He's like, hey, man, it's going to be cool. Just, you know, inhale, exhale. You got this. Because I think he's like, you want out, just be real with them, you'll get out. And so I got in through the door, we had a little talk, and then, like, First Lieutenant just looks me dead in the eyes, and he's like, hey, if we put you back in this class, do you think you will graduate? No, sir. It's like, thank you, that's exactly what I want to hear. I don't want anyone bullshitting me. I was like, cool. And so, yeah, whenever it was my turn to get cut, you know, it was pretty funny. How did they yank you from class?
So there were like two other meetings I had first. The company commander came up to me for, like, I met with him in his office individually. He's like, so what do you think the options would be? Like, do you want us to try to get you into a different class? Because this is Cat 4. We could even cat 1 or cat 2 if you would want to try it. I was like, I don't want to waste any more of the Army's dollar. It's $250,000 to train a soldier.
Oh, yeah.
By sending them to DLI. And frankly, I don't want to have the Army waste $500,000 on a guy who failed two languages.
And plus, you'd spend another like half a year just drowning in language before they pull you out again. Like, yeah, you know, it's just...
And not only that, I wasn't able to promote.
You want to promote? Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't the reason, but that was at the back of my mind anyway. So he's just like, okay, I understand. Is that what you told the schoolhouse? I was like, yeah, that's what I told them. And then I had to have a meeting with the command sergeant major and the lieutenant colonel, because they had to do, like the Army has to do, like, another review at that level. Very respectful. Honestly, I think I was more scared at that than I was at my board. But
I mean,
because I was being straight with them, saying, no, I'm not getting it. I don't want to waste any of the Army's money. Like, I really emphasize that, because finances are huge. I don't give a damn who you are.
No, yeah.
And they're just like, all right, thank you. Thank you for being honest. Don't beat yourself up about it. And because it's DLI, they have that mentality.
Right. I know there are a lot of people who get kicked out of class and they pretty much think life is over. I've met entirely too many of those people. For me, I couldn't tell you, like, that was like the biggest boulder lifted off my shoulders. I felt like I could float, you know, and they were like, you're out of the class, go home.
Well, then it was a random Friday. Someone knocks on the door. I think it was like the lieutenant. He's like, I need you and I need you, one of those yous being me.
Mm-hmm.
Comes up to, he's like, go back to your leadership. You're done. You don't have to sit in class anymore just for the sake of sitting in class.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, sir. Grabbed my shit and got the fuck out.
Oh, man. Lucky you. So, for me, after I had the talk with Lieutenant, I had to go to a board in the Navy, which is pretty much to determine whether or not I tried my best, or if I was just a miserable shitbag, because, you know, we get lumped in two categories.
Yeah, we do that too.
Yeah, so...
But they can usually... They usually already know ahead of time if that's the case.
They usually do. I can't think of a certain instance where someone was determined to be, like, the lazy failure, and then through going through board, they were like, oh, no, never mind, you tried your hardest. So, thankfully, I got clumped into the... actually tried category, and we had a pretty good talk because it was with my leading petty officer of my division.
Mm-hmm.
The leading chief of my department, which is just one step above the division, and then one other guy who's like just an E6, but he was a super chill guy. He's just kind of there to act as like a witness to it all. So, 2E6 is in an E8, and I was just kind of like cracking my pants, but the E8, super cool lady, she was like, hey, relax, we talked to a lot of people, we know you tried your best, we just, you know, don't think you're getting it, and so we're going to pull you. Problem being with that, though, is that even after being told by my Navy leadership that I was getting pulled, they sent me back to class, and I still had to, like, try, I guess, you know? I spent about a week just going like, when am I getting pulled? Oh my god. And there was one teacher, I know you know who I'm thinking of, female, not friendly at all.
I know damn good well who you're talking about.
I was pulled out of class with another person, well, Google Tree, who also at the time happened to be my roommate.
She hated him.
Oh, she sure did. And he gave her every reason to.
I'm not denying that. But at the same time, she fucking hated him.
So it was just hilarious kind of... Because he started becoming like a huge smartass too in the class. And
he was kind of a dick.
Well, I loved every second of it. It was just funny for me. But
well, when I was the class leader, it was not fun for me. When I was not the class leader, it was hilarious.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so she just kept picking on us. Me and him, anytime she would ask a question, she already knew who knew the answer. She knew we didn't know the answer. So she would just be like, Yusuf, which, by the way, Yusuf was my given name in the class.
Oh, yeah, mine was Hazem.
Hazem.
I'm surprised I remember that. Anyway, Yusuf.
Yusuf. I'm like, what's the answer? And I was like, I don't know. The other guy, what's the answer? Nah. And she would do this for every question. Like, It is.
Because you don't study.
Why? Because you don't study.
Like, that's not true, but whatever.
I know, I was like, okay, whatever. Just kind of mumble some shit under my breath. And it went on, like, every time she was our instructor for the next week or so. Until finally the MLI just comes in, peeks his head through the class, just kind of points at me, kind of points at him. Brings us, you know, tells us to follow him, and then says, hey, you're out of class. Woo! Never had to see her again. Awesome. But, so, you made it through November, which means you got through 6 months of that class.
Holy shit. I didn't even realize that.
And I went through, made it all the way through, a whopping 7. Out of what I believe to be an 18-month course. Fuck that.
Yeah, how's...
For reference, the training I had after that, after I got assigned a new rate, 2. No. Yeah, like 3. No, 2.5. I think it was like an 11-week course. Either way, complete joke, but people who were like new to the Navy, who did not have like a previous language dropout, were like freaking out of the difficulty of this course. I'm just like, psh, you guys are losers.
Okay, so I got like 2 more specific stories I want to tell, and then basically my tale here would be done.
All yours, my friend.
Okay, so it was maybe like a week after I was kicked out of the class, that I finally got my roommate.
Ah.
And...
you've told me about him.
Fuck this guy.
Yep.
Like, I will burn this motherfucker to the ground. If I... Like, if I ever met him again, the hand of God could not stop my fist from hitting his face repeatedly. But let's just say he did some very unscrupulous shit in the barracks, which was an open barracks room where you could hear, see, and smell everything.
Oh, God.
I'm not going to go into specifics.
Thank you.
But let's just say, fuck that guy. Fuck that guy. Fuck that motherfucker. Fuck that fucking fuck. I think I have emphasized just how much of a fuck this guy really is. But... Yeah, so I had to deal with this guy for, like, 6 weeks because, like, I reported him up my chain of command because he was doing shit that was very against regulations. And they did nothing, which I kind of lost respect for my leadership after that. But, yeah, whenever I got my orders to go to Fort Meade, on the outside, I was like, yeah, Sergeant. Thank you, Sergeant. On the inside, I was just like,
I'm so happy, because then I can get my orders and go to PCSE.
Hell yeah, brother.
Basically, it's just one last fuck you to the guy. I was constantly, like, flipping my lights on and off. At, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, as I'm, like, packing up my shit, throwing it in the back of my truck.
Oh, that's so petty. I love it.
And once I got the last thing packed into my truck, flipped the lights back on, left.
Woo!
Went over to my company, signed out on PCS leave, yelled deuces and left. I did not come back to shut that light off, because fuck that guy.
Right on, brother.
And then I made my way to Fort Meade, which that's a whole different tale. There is, however, one more.
Nah.
Well... I remember it was about 6 months after I got to Fort Meade, and I'm walking through the cafeteria, and all of a sudden I see this tall, goofy guy with glasses again.
That's me.
And that was you. I was like, I think I was walking with someone that I knew at the time. I don't even remember. I don't even care. But I just remember I was just walking along. I was like, Hody? And you just gave me that look like, Mag? Is that you?
I know.
Are you serious?
giving each other these voices?
Yeah, man, it was awesome.
And then the restrictions were gone, and we could actually start talking like adults and hanging out.
Hell yeah.
So much so we're making a podcast.
That's the other one. Yeah, no, when did you arrive in Maryland?
January of 2018.
Good God. So it took me, because I was in, like, the Loser's Lounge at DLI. What do they call this, like, X-Div or whatever, some bullshit. But basically,
we're on the same page about this.
Yeah. I was there from December to April, because I was just like, and I kept hitting up my new assigned LPO at the time, like, hey, orders.
You know, I know the feeling.
You always be like, yeah, I'm getting around to it. And then finally, you know, I picked a new rate, and then I got, whatever. Went to my new training. Not a whole lot, just me kind of like flexing on noobs, because I've been in for a while and they haven't.
Right, Brian.
I didn't get to Maryland until July of 2018.
So it was about 6 months later.
Yeah, just about. And then I didn't get into my shop until February of 2019.
So it was a year and a half later.
Yeah. But I thought, because I want to say, I may have found you on Facebook, and I added you.
I don't remember.
But basically, I knew you were in Fort Meade. I just didn't know if I would ever see you, because I know, like, I would see you post on Facebook, kind of like whenever you, like, tag yourself at a place. You would tag yourself at Nationals Park or
Camden Yards,
you know. So I was like, oh, shit. I didn't know Mag was here. Cool. But again, just kind of like a fleeting memory, because I was just like, what are the odds? Like, this place is pretty big. But then,
in all fairness, it is pretty big.
But then shit, not even like my first week on the job, but then bam, I like see you in the cafe. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It only took us about like a year and 2 months to be reunited.
Yeah, but it was like a week after we got reunited, we actually started hanging out.
Which was awesome. Yeah, man, because, like, this is really cool when, like, you see someone again, and I guess sometimes you see people, and you're just like, oh, hey, man, how's it going? Like, yeah, long time no see. Well, why don't we hang out? Yeah, okay. Then you just kind of, like, dump it in the back of your mind and just kind of go on and ignore it. But we actually, like, made a commitment to try to hang out. And we've gone on a few cool adventures since then. So February 19 to July of 20, that's
about
a year and a half since we got reunited, and here we are now, man. It's been a good journey, and I am looking forward to the next episode of our adventures, whatever that may be.
Speaking of next episode,
so, we'll be taking a
hiatus,
indefinite hiatus on our podcast. You know, I'm going to keep the door open. Maybe we'll get back together and doing this, but it's been a fun run. I hope you've enjoyed as much as we have, and, thanks for being one of our loyal listeners, you out there sipping that Mai Tai on the beach, with a tear running down your eye, looking at the sunset.
And then immediately going over to Adamo Baseball, because then you can at least get half of this podcast.
If you want half of the members of this podcast, go to Adamo Baseball. Whole lot of fun.
Any of the same podcast platforms, I'm there.
He spends every episode talking about Trey Mancini, by the way.
I do not spend all my time talking about Trey Mancini.
Wish you would.
I don't.
Come on, man. He's cool.
No, don't get me wrong. I like him as a player, but I can't dedicate 6 straight months to talking about one player twice a week.
A real fan would find a way. But anyway, with baseball season coming right up your ass this week.
2 days from now.
The MAG has a lot to talk about, so you should give it a listen, please.
Yeah, I've got God knows how many episodes. I've legit lost count. I think for the season, I'm on episode 68.
Jeez, that's more episodes than this season will have.
The baseball actually, players. Yes. Yeah.
Well, all right, losers. I mean, loyal fans. One last time. I'm Hody Rez.
And I'm the MAG.
And we'll possibly see you eventually.
All right. Cheers.